Welcome back. Today, we're looking into some really challenging but essential material.
That's right. We're reflecting on Brother Steve's recent Wednesday night message.
The one titled The Heart of the World, drawing from 1 John, Lesson 38. It gets right to the core of the human problem, doesn't it?
It really does.
If you were listening to that message, you know it started with a pretty stark definition of sin. No pulling punches.
None at all. It describes sin as defiling, rebellious, ungrateful.
Incurable and deadly. That's quite a list to begin with.
It is. And our aim here, really, is to distill the core truths from that message about sin's nature, where it truly comes from, according to the Bible.
And crucially, what that means for us as believers trying to navigate, well, what the message called today's dark world system.
Exactly. We need to understand what keeps us grounded.
That opening definition really sets a heavy tone. It leads straight into the human condition apart from Christ.
Yes, the point that man doesn't just, you know, accidentally sin. He loves darkness more than light.
And pursues sin gladly. That's a strong word.
It is. And that connects to one of the most striking details from the message.
About the effort involved.
Right. The sheer effort people put into rebellion. The source said people exert amazing effort.
And go to hell sweating in their devotion to sin. That phrasing, it just stuck with me.
Me too. It really challenges that idea that sin is just a mistake. Oops.
It makes it sound like, for the unregenerate person, sin is almost a deliberate, active pursuit.
It certainly reinforces that the problem is universal. It's not just a few individuals.
It's the condition of humanity. The message brought in Romans 3:23 there.
For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. No exceptions. Nobody escapes that condition naturally.
And connecting that to the world system around us, the values, the culture that opposes God.
The source grounded us in 1 John 5:1 time. That's sobering thought. The whole world lies in the lap of the evil one.
It's under his influence, his system.
So if the problem is that widespread and that active, the consequences must be severe.
And the message laid out 5 specific fatal results of sin. It's not just about the final judgment, is it? The damage starts much sooner.
That's a key point. The destruction is immediate and it's internal first.
Let's walk through those. What's the very first impact sin has on someone?
It begins with domination. The first result, sin overpowers man.
Overpowers. How so?
It dominates the mind, the will, the affections. The message was clear. Without Christ, the mind can really only conceive sinful things. There's an emptiness toward true righteousness.
So that internal state then naturally leads outward.
Exactly. Which brings us to the second consequence. Sin holds men under Satan's control.
Because they're already overpowered inside.
Precisely. They become captives, essentially. The message pointed to Ephesians 2, verse 2.
Where it says the unconverted walk according to the prince of the power of the air, following Satan's lead within his world system.
Right. And these first two, the internal domination, the external control, they logically lead to the third result.
Which is?
Sin brings man under God's wrath. It's an unavoidable consequence. Sinners are called children of wrath.
Facing eternal judgment.
Yes. And the source material highlighted that Jesus himself spoke about hell very clearly with great precision and clarity. This isn't some vague idea. It's biblical reality.
Okay, so that covers the internal state, the external control, and the divine judgment. But there are consequences right here, right now, too.
Absolutely. The fourth result, sin subjects men to the miseries of life.
Meaning the general brokenness and suffering we see.
Yes. The message referenced Job 5.7 is born to trouble as the sparks fly upward. It's almost the natural state of things in a fallen world.
Like Solomon discovering everything was vanity of vanities.
That's a perfect illustration used in the source. Even with everything the world offers, wealth, pleasure, wisdom, it couldn't fill that void sin creates. It's all ultimately empty.
Which leads to the final, ultimate consequence.
The fifth result.
Yes.
Sin eternally damns them. It sentences them to hell, eternal separation from God.
When you lay it out like that, starting with internal overpowering, moving through control, wrath, misery, and ending in damnation.
It really should shift our perspective, shouldn't it? And that's the question for you listening. How does really grasping these results change your urgency, your focus in serving God today?
It's heavy stuff. And it makes the next question even more critical. Where does all this actually start? Where does sin originate?
Because if the consequences are that dire, you have to know the source.
And the message addresses the common excuses people give.
Oh, yes. The first one, probably the most common. The devil made me do it.
But the source pointed out the problem with that thinking.
It makes Satan seem sovereign over the believer, which contradicts God's sovereignty, and it fosters a victim mentality, letting people avoid responsibility.
Okay, so it's not primarily the devil tempting us against our will. What about the second excuse?
Blaming society or the environment, you know, the media, bad influences, the culture. If things were different around me, I wouldn't sin.
Again, putting the blame out there.
All right, and the third one is the oldest excuse of all, going right back to the garden.
Adam blaming Eve, and ultimately God, the woman you gave me.
The ultimate blame shift.
Yeah.
Passing the buck not just to another person, but to the creator himself.
But Jesus cuts through all those excuses.
Completely. The message brought us to Mark chapter 7. That's the decisive biblical answer.
What did Jesus say there?
He taught very plainly. There is nothing that enters a man from outside which can defile him.
Nothing external. Not the world, not demons, not even Satan himself.
According to Jesus here, no. None of those external things cause the defilement.
So if it doesn't come in from the outside?
It must come from the inside. Jesus said sin proceeds out of the heart of man.
The heart itself is the source.
Yes. And the message used that stark verse from Jeremiah 17.9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked.
So the conclusion is unavoidable. The root problem isn't out there.
The problem, frankly, is us, our fallen nature.
Wow. Okay, that realization then brings up another complex point from the teaching, something from Romans 7.
Ah, yes. If sin is internal, what actually triggers it? What stirs it up?
And the answer is almost paradoxical.
It is. Paul explains that for the unconverted person, their sinful passions are actually aroused by the law of God.
The very standard of righteousness itself provokes the sin nature.
That's what it says. It highlights the inherent rebellion inside.
The message used that analogy, didn't it? About telling a child, don't touch that.
Exactly. What happens? The forbidden thing immediately becomes more attractive. It proves the desire, the rebellion was already inside, just waiting for something to push against.
That's quite unsettling. God's perfect law acting as the irritant.
And that internal rebellion, always looking for an outlet, is precisely what Satan's world system targets.
Which brings us to those three gateways mentioned in 1 John chapter 2.
Right. These are the specific ways the world system appeals to that fallen, rebellious heart within us.
The pressure points, you could say.
The mechanisms used to draw out what's already there. First, the lust of the flesh.
Our physical appetites, sensuality.
Second, the lust of the eyes.
Wanting things, possessions, being impressed by appearances.
And third, the pride of life.
The desire for status, recognition, self-importance.
And this is where it gets intensely practical for us as believers.
Not so.
Because for Christians, these aren't just abstract problems in the world. They're the very gateways we consciously choose to open when we sin.
We aren't forced through them.
No. The message stressed that when a Christian sins, it's a choice. We choose to give in to one of these appeals, the flesh, the eyes, or pride, and in doing so, align ourselves momentarily with the enemy system instead of God's will.
That really emphasizes personal responsibility.
Absolutely.
Now, to really drive home this point that sin is fundamentally internal, not environmental, the message used a powerful illustration.
The millennial kingdom.
Right. Think about that future time described in Scripture. Christ reigns physically on earth for 1,000 years.
Righteousness is the standard. Justice is swift and perfect.
And critically, Satan and his demons are bound. They're locked away, completely removed from influencing the world.
So if the environment or external temptation were the root cause of sin,
then that 1,000-year period should be sinless, perfect peace.
But that's not what Scripture indicates will happen, is it?
No. The source pointed out that people born during that time living under Christ's perfect rule without demonic influence
will still eventually rebel. At the end of the 1,000 years, many will gather to fight against Christ.
Why? If the environment is perfect and Satan is bound.
Because the source of sin wasn't removed. It wasn't the environment. It wasn't Satan whispering in their ear at that point. It was the unregenerate human heart.
Still deceitful, still wicked, even in paradise, until God changes it.
Sinners sin because it's their nature.
Yeah.
It proves the problem is fundamentally internal.
So that brings us back to the challenge for us as Christians today.
When we give in, when we open those gateways, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life, it's a conscious decision.
We're choosing to indulge that fallen nature that still resides within us, even though we've been redeemed.
And while the lost person has no power against this internal nature or these gateways,
we do through Christ.
Exactly. The only way to conquer this is through the saving and sanctifying work of Jesus. And for us, when we do fail, when we make that wrong choice,
the path back is clear.
Immediate confession and repentance. Mm. That act breaks the alignment with the world system and realigns us with God.
So wrapping this up, this exploration really recalibrates things. Sin isn't just an external nuisance.
No, it's described as an incurable, deadly, self-generating problem rooted deep inside the human heart.
And the world system constantly appeals to that inner weakness through those three avenues: flesh, eyes, and pride.
And knowing that, understanding just how deep-seated and powerful this internal enemy is, maybe this is the final thought to leave with you.
Go on.
Given sin's insidious power, originating entirely within us, this capacity to, as the source put it, go to hell sweating with effort, doesn't that make God's grace even more staggering?
His mercy in saving us from something inside ourselves that we could never fix on our own.
Precisely. He rescues us from ourselves. Perhaps meditate this week on the incredible sovereignty of God as the only one who can truly liberate us from our own hearts.
A vital truth. We need his grace constantly. Thank you for digging into this essential word with us today.